Good morning, everybody. Good morning on this third day and final day of our fast. It ends tonight at 6 p.m. But we made it this far, and I pray that everybody's been able to hold to the fast because you always reap rewards, let me tell you. When you go through these and you die to yourself and take a few days, you know, to just tell your body to shut up. Basically, that's what we're doing. You know, so we're telling our body, you be quiet, you know, and let the spirit have its way type of deal. But this morning, I want to focus on the very first day when I was with the Lord and, you know, in my little time I do with the Lord in the mornings. And I was writing kind of the goals of what we wanted to accomplish during this three-day fast. And I want to read them to you, and then I want to read some scriptures that are going to complete that. Okay, so let's go to the goals. Number one is to strengthen all of us for persecution that's coming. Okay. Number two, to die to ourselves. And we already dealt with this with people we prayed with about their expectations of their life. The expectations and the loss. This is very serious because the loss of the American dream, even if you're not in America, you know, but the dream of, you know, the house and the kids and the grandkids and seeing them grow up and yada yada, you know, just the disappointment in your heart, you know, that we will not be able to see that. You know, that we will put that behind us. We'll have to die to that. That we're in another reality, unfortunately, and that's the tribulation time. You know, we're here at the end, and it is what it is. You know, we've been called for such a time as this. Now, you know, as older people, you know, I'm 57. We've really been blessed to live this long. You know, no matter what age we are, I mean, we're grateful we're still alive, you know, type of deal. But the goal of this 3 days is to die to our expectations of our failures of what we expected life to be or our future to be type of deal. Okay, and then number three is for the will of the Lord to be done in our attitude, in the midst of all of this, is what matters. So how we handle ourselves, you know, because we cannot control others. We cannot control what the beast is doing. You know, we can't, in other words, you know, we can't control them, but we can control our attitude, how we react to these people. Number four, pray for Nar to wake up because we see the snake eating the tail already. And so we're going to do that this morning. Transition to greatness. This is the third quarter. Officially started on July 1st. We know that Trump has labeled great as Noahide. That's when you hear him say great, that's what they mean. Is taking everybody to this next level, the law. You know, it just hit me yesterday what AI is. Think about this. AI is the law. They are forcing everyone to go back to the law. Isn't that something? AI equals law. Jesus equals freedom, grace. Remember the covenant of how they are so mad over the covenant because they want to believe that there is two covenants. There is not. There's only one covenant. And that's why they don't like Paul because he expressly talks about how, you know, we are free from the law. and that is Christianity. So this is another way of them just stabbing Christianity, taking everybody back to the law, and it's the law that's going to hang them. Ain't that sad? It's the snake eating the tail. And he's got these people so brainwashed to want that, to where they're like, oh yeah, go get them, not realizing it's going to bounce back on you, sucker. You're going to reap the reward of this too. Go ahead and cheer it on. You know? But that's what the transition to greatness is, what he labeled back in 2020. Whenever he did the rollout of the COVID, it's the Noahide Law Agenda pressing forward. Okay, so number six. I didn't realize I had 7 points. Wow, this is cool. Number six. This is the final story of the church to be all that God means it to be. We are the final story of the church. Not saying we're the only ones. You know, not like a Brother Jones, you know, where he had all them people kill themselves, you know, with Kool-Aid or nothing. I'm not saying it like that. I'm saying that we're the last Mohican. That's what I'm saying. You know, I realize, like Elijah, you know, we're not the only ones in the cave. You know, God has his people all over the world, right? But for us as a church body, I mean, we are the last Mohicans. You know, the Christians that are sober and alert and are wanting to see the miraculous move of God. Because there's no way you can fight the beast unless you believe God in this way. There's no way, because our battle is not with flesh and blood. It's with the principalities and the powers. And this thing that we're fighting is called the Antichrist spirit. So it is a spirit we're fighting. So we can only beat this in the spirit. There is no flesh that's going to be able to survive this. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? That's why fasting is such a powerful tool. Remember, we learned that if we're ever captured, there we have some weapons. Even though we don't have anything in our hands, we have weapons, baby. We have weapons. Number one, the weapon would be fasting. You're not going to force me to eat. If you want to eat, I mean, they may try to, you know, shove it down your throat or whatever, but they're not going to. You know, I'm not going to willingly partake of your vomit, you know. And then we have speaking in tongues. We can do that under our breath, and we talk to God. And they cannot understand it. They cannot interpret it. The beast cannot, because he'll be listening to everything, which he does now anyway. But when you speak in tongues, he cannot understand that. But God says that when we pray in tongues, it is the perfect prayer to God. So praying in tongues is a weapon. You know, we're talking right now about how to beat the beast with no physical weapon. And the way that we do that is with our fasting, which is a warfare, and with our tongue, with praying in tongues. Another way that we fight the beast with no weapons is angelic host, angelic help. You have to know that we have the host with us. The Bible says in many stories that, oh, if they could just open their eyes and they could see that they have more that is for them than is against them. And that's the truth. We have angels, you know, they are with us, angels that are there to help us. You know, we are, we have a kingdom. In other words, we're not alone. I don't care if they come and take me off away from Dennis and away from this farm. I'm never alone. I always have God. And just remember this, we always have God that is standing right there, and he is witnessing with the host of heaven what these people are doing to me. And like I just posted on Facebook this morning about scriptures about revenge. I'm going to start doing that. I'm going to start posting basic Christianity tenets so these people's eyes will see that what is happening right in front of your face is not Christianity. You know, it's demonic what's happening out here. But when we are somewhere, so is he. So he sees what they're doing. He will get revenge. You know, it may not be right now, but God is our defender. You know, when we really get to, this is how you can see people's true heart. Is when they get under pressure, what do? You know, do they go in their prayer closet and pray in tongues and cry to God? That's your leaning post. Because here's the thing, you know, if you was in a prison and, you know, they're all, you know, being mean and whatnot, you can't trust anybody in there. You know, you can't trust any of your surroundings. No one. No one. Because remember, they'll put plants in there that will try to, you know, get people to do stuff. You just have to know it is you and Jesus. That's it. There's no one in this world you can trust, you know. And so you talk to him, you lean on him, you pray in tongues. Because the Bible says that when you pray in tongues, you pray the most perfect prayer. So in other words, it also says that when you pray in tongues, it strengthens you. It strengthens your man. So what do we need when we're in prison or in jail or, you know, on live TV or whatever? We need the strength. We need, you know, God's grace to be able to endure what it is that we're enduring. And, you know, even if we're never put in a jail or anything like that, of course, I'm using extreme measures because we're in extreme times. Well, I mean, what I'm telling you guys is not some fantasy. It's not some sarcastic joke. I mean, this is what they are doing. It's right in front of our face, you know. But even if you never go to a jail, here's another scenario. You got the fiber for the cyber coming. You know, the public humiliation, you know, what they want to do to expose Christians. In other words, those that have not taken the V, okay, they're going to go to the next level to get you to conform. Because like yesterday on the news last night, I showed you guys how RFK Jr. is, boy, he is moving forward with that. He is wanting every human to have a wearable, which, you know, is going into, you know, where they're saying it'd just be easier instead of you wearing them, you know, to just have an implant, you know. And we know that they want to implant people that are in prison and stuff like that, you know, type of deal. But because he is wanting the data of all of the human bodies, okay, because they're wanting to make them transhuman for the decentralized medicine, okay? So here we are, you know, well alert and sober of what they're doing. We're going to say no, right? We're not going to give you our heart rate and our data. We're not going to just wear it and give you permission. No way. So I was thinking about this yesterday. You know, are they going to try to force you? You know, is that going to be, because this is going to be the carbon credit score. Y'all do realize this is the carbon credit score coming in right now. It's voluntary, you know. And people, here's the sad thing. People that have jobs. Okay, this is how they're going to, think about how they did the V. It started out voluntary, you know. But then the businesses, the companies started putting pressure on people. It wasn't the government. It was the corporate that told everybody you have to take it or you lose your job. or you can't get your hair done, or you can't do this, you can't do that unless. So what if it's like that? What if it's like your job said, here's another scenario everybody needs to think about. You're not going to be able to continue working here unless you have a Fitbit, ma'am. Well, why do I have to have a Fitbit? Because, ma'am, you can't have insurance. Our insurance will not cover you unless you have a Fitbit. They got to know if you're complying with them. If you're not going to eat right so they can monitor your food intake, if they're not seeing that you're doing enough steps, if you're wobbling when you're, if they're not able to do pre-crime, that's just what it is. If they're not able to do pre-crime where they can measure your heart rate and see that you got an oncoming COVID or an oncoming something, something, okay, where they have the sensors and stuff on it now, you know, you will not be able to work here. Okay, what about this? What if they say, you know, you will not be able to participate in this or participate in that. You know, the pressure comes again. Okay. And then what about this? What about this? Let me throw another scenario. We know there's another pandemic coming. We know that in Trump's big, beautiful bill, he's got millions of dollars funded for this thing. So it is coming. You know, don't, no doubt about that. Okay. So what if they have a scenario, because we know that we saw on the news last night where RFK Jr. said, we're about to do the biggest advertising campaign that this department has ever done. So this is how serious they are about people wearing wearables. Okay. So let's say that they have a pressure type of advertising light. Does your neighbor have a Fitbit? Don't they love their neighbor? Wouldn't you want, and especially if you have the oncoming signs of a pandemic, they could use this as a guilt trip like they tried with the COVID, where they tried to make everybody feel ashamed they didn't have. You don't love your neighbor. You didn't take the V. You don't love your neighbor. You know, so the pressure is what I'm trying to tell you that's coming about these wearable IDs so that they can put you in the decentralization metaverse vomit where they can, you know, profile you and make a digital twin of you. This is what they're wanting to do, you know. And then we need the strength to say no, people. You know, this is, it's not a joking matter. It's a very serious. So right here, when I say number six, that we're the final story, we're the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego saying, hey, we're not going to bow to Baal. This is what they're wanting us to bow. And we're refusing to bow. And this is what is making them mad, you know. But we want our story, you know, our generation, so that when we go to heaven, we sit there with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And we sit there with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And they say, wow, you had to live down there with the devil himself, man. I can't believe you had to live down there with technology like that. Wow, how did you do it? You see? We're that generation that they are going to want to talk to. We want to be able to look at them and say, man, let me tell you what happened. Man, I was in that prison, that alligator prison, and God gave me a dream one night. And he told me, he said, get up at 3:00 in the morning, and I want you to walk out that door. Because remember I told y'all when I was in El Paso, Texas, God gave me a dream like this. It legitimately happened. He told me, get up. And it was 3:00 in the morning. And he told me to go to the border in the most volatile area in the United States at that time. And that was that area. But he told me to go out there by myself, single woman, and stand on the border and prophesy. And that's what I did. I went out there and prayed. Partnered with heaven, took my shoes off and planted my feet on the ground and partnered with heaven and prayed. But what if God tells us in the prison, get up 3 o'clock in the morning, go out there, and I want you to walk through the water. And I want you to leave. And I want you to walk to this location and I'll have somebody meet you there. You know, whatever God says, what kind of faith is it going to take? Daniel in the lion den, you know, that type of scenario. At that point in time, we won't have the opportunity we have today. Oh, Lord, okay, I heard you, Lord, but I need 2 confirmations. Just give me 2 more confirmations. And then somebody calls you, thus saith the Lord said it is. We're not going to have that in this end time scenario. I mean, you know, when God tells you to do something, you're going to have to know his voice. There'll be no time to waver. This is why we're in boot camp now. This is why I need to do more preachings about spiritual warfare. I need to prepare you guys so you'll be ready for battle. Boy, this charcoal's kicking in, let me tell you. I'm having to drink a lot of water. But anyway, so if he tells you, no, get up at 3 o'clock and go out there with those alligators, we're going to have to have the faith that God's going to unlock that chain on that door, that the door is going to open like it did for Peter and everybody else. The gates open. The TVs don't see you. The cameras don't see you. The beast does not see you. God can do anything he wants to do. Okay? And then you walk out on them alligators and they look at you and they just bow down and allow you to walk across, or the water parts, and you're walking across dry land. Or you dive in there and swim across. I mean, whatever it is, you know. We have to have, we're in this time of day. I don't even know how to explain it. Except for the fact that this is our generation. We're the greatest generation to ever live, I believe. And this is the way we have to see it, that we're going into the age of miracles like we've never seen. We have to have the expectancy in our heart that we're going to see miracles. We serve this kind of God, you know. And even if God tells you, okay, I want you to stay and take care of people in your region that are going to be coming through. That's what I told you I believe Garden of Eden Farm is. Okay? Even if that is the case, you're still going to need miracles. You're still going to need to be healed. You're still going to need God to do miracles to survive the coming days. Okay? So just remember that we are the final story of the church, and we want the miraculous of God to be shown. The glory. Number 7 and the final one. We need clarity and focus. Clarity and focus. And we want to pray against the effects of technology on us. Okay? I don't really know how to pray against 5G, you know, people that live near it and towers and fiber. And, you know, we're just all being radiated to death, you know, with all this radiation out here. There's not anything we can do about it. So all we can do and what we're going to believe God to do is a dome, you know. God, you're just going to have to protect us in this evil, evil world, you know. And so we're going to pray about each one of these bullet points this morning, all 7 points of our goals today. So what I'm going to do on number 1, where it talks about strengthen us for persecution, I'm going to read you some scriptures to strengthen your inner man about protection. Okay. Now watch this. As humans, we want to see God's protection as a magic force field that keeps us from all harm. Yes, God has to stop any evil or destruction, but we must remember that we do live in a fallen world where we have free will, and sometimes God works in ways that we do not understand. Sometimes God's protection comes in the form of peace and strength in the middle of despair. In other words, his protection is like, for instance, let's say if we're put in a camp and, you know, we're in this camp. They're telling us we can't talk to people. We can't touch people. We can't lay hands on people. They're listening to us. They're wanting everybody to obey and to pee in these AI toilets, yada, yada, you know. The suffering that's ahead. God can still strengthen us to stand until the end. Let's talk about Stephen, the first martyr. Stephen was stoned to death, and God helped him to make it through all the way to the end. And he said, God, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. He looks up into heaven and says, I see Jesus on the right hand of the Father. You know, he's having a miraculous, glorious ending here. You know, in the middle of being stoned and being hurt, physically hurt. You know, that's what this is saying right here. Okay, sometimes God's protection comes as an ending. Because he sees something more on the horizon that we cannot see. And that's something we have to remember. The will of the Lord be done. No matter what happens, okay? The will of the Lord be done. He is the man in control, not the devil. To us, I mean. Yes, the devil has the earth right now, and he is getting revenge on God's people because he's after the man child. Remember that? He's after her. And so we do know that we're being hunted down. And they're preparing the grid for that, you know, for this taking everybody back to the law, AI, you know. But the Lord in the midst of that, you know, wants to use us. And we have to give the ending of our destiny to God. Lord, whatever this scenario is, I just don't want to go out of here in shame. And what I mean by shame is we know that we may be, I mean, there's many scenarios of where the future could go, but we may be shamed publicly. You know, they may try the public humiliation to get us to fold. Okay. That is not shame that I'm talking about. Because we know they're going to do that. And I told you what the Lord said about that in my dream, we cannot defend ourselves. There's no way. Don't waste your breath cussing all these people, trying to shoot people or doing nothing stupid. Throw your hands up and pray. Because at that point, it's over. You're in God's hands. It's you and Jesus. That's it. So you just pray. The shame I'm talking about is God. What do I look like before God? That's my concern. You know, is your face still upon me? As long as I have your smile, I can go through this. I really can, because the Bible says I can do all things through Christ that gives me strength. Amen. But if he turns his back on me because I have shunned him and sinned against him and hurt him, that is more important to us, right, than it is what man thinks about us. Because you got to understand about man, about mankind. They're all followers. Most people are just followers. They follow the media. They follow the masses. They follow the potion that's being released, basically. You know, they're following the propaganda. So they're just believing this lie, okay, is really the way I'm seeing it. They're believing this lie. So we can't be mad at them. You know, we just have to forgive them and move forward, because they're going to hate you because the beast hates you. You know, the devil hates Jesus, and you're his bride. You're his beautiful loved one. You're his, you know, his image that is still shining. It's that candle that's still glowing. And the beast, all this darkness, this utter gross darkness that's surrounding us right now, does not light that candle, that beautiful, beautiful incense, you know, that's being poured through the heavens through prayer. Because remember, you have the first heaven, which is where we're at. You have the second heaven, which is where the principalities and the powers are. And you have the third heaven, which is where God is. So when you pray, it travels from here to there to there. It's the three levels, okay? So this is why some of your prayers are stopped at the second level. They don't want it to get to heaven because your words are power, you know? And remember, the Bible backs this up totally, you know, where Michael the archangel and Gabriel, you know, would talk to people and say, I tried to get it to you, but they stopped me. You know, the warfare in the second heavens, you know, those principalities and the powers of the air, you know, try to stop those prayers. But when you pray, you know, that's a beautiful incense to God. And don't forget that when you pray, that those prayers, those words are gathered into bowls and they are kept at the altars of God. And he smells that beautiful fragrance of your prayers. Isn't that beautiful? And then when you cry, when you talk to God and those tears flow, the angels are there and they gather that. It's really amazing how God is. I mean, and those tears are gathered. And this is what happens in the end, whenever God tells them, which I believe is halfway through tribulation, but he tells them, bring me the bowls, bring them here, you know. And when he brings the prayers of the saints, you know, and the tears, he gets so angry, he goes in the temple and he says, don't come get me till this is done. Then the wrath of God is poured out. And that's when I thought and believe, you know, that we was going to be out of here before that point, you know. We would have to go through the persecution, the martyrdom, the testing and the trial of the bride. And then, you know, he would come and get us through the harvest sickle and have the marriage supper of the Lamb. And then it would be the wrath of God, which would be so much trauma in the earth that it would be so much blood that would be up to the horse's bridle. You know, it's how bad that point is going to be. But the point that I'm saying is, you know, that we have to be willing in our heart to allow God to use us ever how he wants to use us in this final hour. So the battle that we're going to have in point number 7 about the effects of technology of the bride is we want to be able to have that dome. And like it says right here in this thing that I'm reading, you know, it comes as an ending because he sees something more on the horizon that we can't see. So when we're up there and we're on the stick, we have to realize there's a purpose for it. There's people watching us that need to be saved. You know, your life is his story. You know, your story is for his glory, you know, type of deal. So as a believer in Jesus, we are promised a new life covered under the protection of God, in which nothing can separate us from his love. Isn't that beautiful? Rest knowing that no matter what hardship you face, God is your provider and protector. These Bible verses about protection will help you focus on knowing that there is a bigger plan and God has chosen great things for you. And it may be martyrdom. It may be persecution and torture. Or it may be helping others who are going to be persecuted and tortured. I mean, the persecution towards the church is coming. Our role in this, I mean, we may be the people that, you know, wake up everybody because God has prepared us for 5 years. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you don't know. But whatever, though, we need to be strengthened to do whatever it is that God has called us. So 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. Isn't that beautiful? God will help you. 2 Thessalonians 3:3. But the Lord is faithful, and He will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. Deuteronomy 31:6. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. See, that's what I was saying. He's with us no matter what happens. He will never leave you or forsake you. Isaiah 41:10. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. This is the key. Which God do we serve? Because this, notice how the beast is getting everybody to fold right now. Notice how he's doing it through their lust. Through their lust. Can I lose my prestige and status? No. Can I suffer persecution in front of people? No. Can I lose my material things? No. Can I lose my job? Oh, if I lose my job, I'm going to lose everything. I'm going to lose my status in front of people. I'm going to be destitute and alone and suffering. You know, their whole life is edged upon superficial. These are all superficial things. And their heart is their lust. Their lust says, I have to have this. I have to have that. So the beast, that's how he's attacking them. I'm going to take your job. Okay, I'll do it. All right. Oh, you won't be able to fly. Oh, I got to fly now. I got to preach the gospel. I got to fly. So yeah, go ahead, just do it. Well, you're not going to be able to go to these fancy concerts and stuff. Oh, I got to do this. My summer fun. I've got to do that. Okay. All right. I'll do it. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? This is how he's been doing it. I mean, it may get more pressurous in the future. But God will uphold us with his righteous right hand. Proverbs 2:11. Discretion will protect you and understanding will guard you. Proverbs 4:6, do not forsake wisdom. She will protect you. Love her, and she will watch over you. So wisdom, you know, this is why when other people try to tell you something, you know, don't be so quick to dismiss it. Think about it. It may be wisdom coming to you, you know. Psalm 5:11. But let all who take refuge in you be glad. Let them ever sing for joy. Spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may rejoice in you. Isn't that beautiful? Psalm 12:5. Because the poor are plundered and the needy groan, I will now arise, says the Lord. I will protect them from those who malign them. Whoa. Psalm 20, verse 1. May the Lord answer you when you are in distress. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. Psalm 34:19. The righteous person may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. Bam! From them all. Psalm 46:1. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. I had this memory come to my head about that time I was in Mississippi and I was on that horse farm. This was back in 2016 and I was writing those two books. It ended up being twins, the garden twins. That's when God gave me all the dreams and revelations about the garden. And look, now we have the Garden of Eden Ministry. It's pretty cool. But anyway, so I was out there on the farm in that little bitty horse trailer, you know, probably 15 foot, you know, maybe 6 foot wide or something, real little. And but it had a bed and a little toilet and had the, you know, a little sink in it. So I had a little bit of a house. And I was out there and I was writing the books and everything, and the storm came. I mean, like a hurricane type. It was horrible. Just came up all of a sudden, and it was like, you know, shaking that trailer. And I just knew I was going to blow away. I was on the floor. I was on the floor crying to God, speaking in tongues. I mean, you know, because when you're in the middle of death, you just, all you can do is pray in tongues. Just, you know. My life's in your hands, Lord. But he ended up protecting me. He saved me. So that was pretty cool. But that's what I think of. He's my refuge. He was my refuge and strength at that time. Psalm 57:1. Have mercy on me, my God. Have mercy on me. For in you I take refuge. Now, this is really cool. Because right now, God is inside of us, right? You know, he sets up his throne on the inside. And the temple is inside. This is why the beast wants in the temple. He wants the wearable so he can enter in, okay? But we're putting a block there and we're saying, no, you're not coming in, you know, type of deal. But when it says that when I am in you, I take a refuge. This is his identity. This is the mystery of the marriage. You know, the Bible says that marriage is a mystery because when a woman is married, she is miseries. She is under his covering. You know, he is her head. The Lord showed me this through Jesus because he is still my husband, but, you know, was my husband. So Jesus was my head. I was under him. I'm in him. I'm now in his name, and I take his name and his image, you know. So the same when you're married. It's a mystery. You come under his name. You're under his covering. You're under his protection. This is why women, it's more important for a woman when she gets married, I think, than a man. Because the woman has to give up her identity. It's a big deal, you know. And you have to know who you're trusting to go under his headship. And so that's why I tell women, don't you ever get with a man for money. Don't ever get with a man for superficial stuff. Money, you know, if he's got a house, a car, a job, all that stuff is blowed in the wind. It can be gone in a day. Don't never do that. You get with a man based on prayer. That's why you need somebody that can touch heaven. That is a good, godly man that knows how to pray. Not somebody that, you know, just got saved and don't know what they're doing. You need somebody that can move mountains, you know, that's going to protect you. Why? Because you are his bride and you are going underneath that covering. That's the mystery of marriage, you know. And like I told you guys, when me and Dennis got married, I have felt such a difference in the spirit because he's my covering. I don't even know how to explain it. It's a clearness in the atmosphere around me, you know, to where I can think more clearly and I have a, in other words, he's holding the demons at bay because he's my covering. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? So in this scripture where it says, have mercy on me, my God, have mercy on me, for in you I take my refuge. You're my covering. You're my head. You're my protection. You know, we have to know this because remember I told you about my family member that was wanting to come live here, but they was wanting to drink and smoke pot and carry on here and not follow the rules, you know, play their video games and stuff because he had a teenage kid. And we told them, you know, no, this is a this place here is not a house. This is a ministry facility. You know, we have people come here all the time that travel through here. You know, this is not a regular house. So we don't allow that kind of stuff here. You know what I mean? This is a, you know, a haven. It's the Garden of Eden. That's why it's called Garden of Eden Farms. You know, God named it that whenever I bought it back in, when was it? The year we got married. So 2023. By the way, y'all, our anniversary is coming up in a couple of weeks. I can't believe it. 3 years. Seems like yesterday. But, you know, you have to be willing to honor the man of the, this is Dennis, you know, he's the head here. You know, he's my husband. That's what I told my family who got mad when I said no. I said, y'all are forgetting I'm married now. This ain't just me. You know, this is my husband's house. You know, he will not allow that kind of stuff. And it just will not be that way. You know, this is a ministry farm. And, all right, so let's move on to the next scripture. Okay, Psalm 57:1. Have mercy on me, my God. Have mercy on me. For in you, here we go with the in you again, I take refuge. I will take refuge in the shadow of your wings until the disaster has passed. Everybody lift your hands right now. Say, in the name of Jesus, I'm choosing today to be in you. Lord, I thank you that I want to take refuge in the shadow of your wings through the rest of this disaster that we're living in. Have mercy on me, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Psalm 59:1. Deliver me from my enemies, O God. Be my fortress against those who are attacking me. This goes back to that revenge thing. You know, Trump is seeking revenge on all the everybody he don't like. And, you know, these people that have swallowed the vomit are all about revenge now, but it's not Christian. God is our vengeance. Amen. Psalm 138:7. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. Who? Everybody lift your hands again. Say, in the name of Jesus, you preserve my life. You will stretch out your hand against the anger of my foes. With your right hand, you will save me. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 144. Keep me safe, Lord, from the hands of the wicked. Protect me from the violent, yes, Lord, who devises ways to trip my feet. Bam. Lord, protect us from these evil people who are devising ways to hurt your bride. Help us, Lord. Give us strength. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 and 24. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, Lord, help us. The one who calls you is faithful and he will do it. I got this song in my spirit. He'll do it again. He'll do it again. He'll do it again. If you'll just take a look at where you are now and where you've been, hasn't he always come through for you? He's the same now as then. You may not know how, you may not know when, but he'll do it again. Isn't that beautiful? Okay, 2 Corinthians 4, 8 through 9. We are hard pressed on every side, but can we say that today? Yes, we are. But we're not crushed. Amen. Perplexed. Amen. But not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Isn't that beautiful? In other words, the Lord showed me back in 2013 whenever everybody abandoned me. All my family. Yes, even my kids. I mean, even my mother. Even my pastor. Even everyone. All of them. I was so hurt. I was so rejected, you know, because I had just graduated with my master's degree, graduated one of the top of the class, graduated with honors. They crowned me, all that stuff that they do in master's level, all that. God would not let me get a job. And he ended up telling me, I'm hiring you. That's what he said. I'm hiring you and you work for me, woman. All that education I gave you, I want you to use for my people. And that's what he said, and that's what I've been doing ever since. But he told me, so all these people abandoned me. So I guess it was a couple of years later after going learning that God was the only thing I had. He was my only refuge, my only rock. Did you know that years later, God told me in the prayer closet, he goes, I did that. I said, what do you mean? He said, I had all them do that to you and turn on you. God did that. He said, because I wanted you to know that I am your only one. And now I'm thankful he did. I am thankful he did. Because now I know if my kids turn on me, if my parents turn on me, which they're dead, but no matter who it is, if they turn on me, that does not shake me as far as, you know, my end time story, because God is my final rock. He's my final thing that I lean on. So persecuted, but not abandoned. Another thing I was going to tell you about the guy that wanted to come here, the reason I was telling you that. As I was telling my family, I said, here's the thing all of you guys got to remember. Because I had several people mad at me. I wouldn't let him come here because we had so much land and stuff. I said, here's one thing you guys have to remember is this. Do y'all remember years ago? Because remember years ago, they wouldn't let me stay with them. You know, when I was homeless back in 2013. I said, do you remember years ago when I was homeless back in 2013? They're like, yeah. I said, here's the difference. I was homeless just like he is. Which he's not yet, but he thought he was going to be. I said, but do you remember I had God? He's refusing God, which I'm believing that he'll, you know, get saved and come out of that. But the difference is being homeless with God and being homeless without God. Being homeless without God would be horrible because what they're doing is they're trying everything within their own hands to survive, grasping for straws, reaching. I've got to do this. I've got to do this. I got to do, you know, and they don't realize God wants to do all that. You know, this is where the trust comes in, the trust factor. You know, you take your hands off and you let him do it. Do you see what I mean? Because with the church, we are not abandoned. We can be homeless out there on the streets. We can be in a prison. We can be in a bus. We can be in a ship. We can be in a train. We're not alone. And you know that we can have angels come visit us. We can have angels appear. They, you know, there is no prison. There is nothing that restrains God in the earth. Remember, he has the elements. That's what God told us on day one. He has the elements, and we have to believe that if God wants to get me out of here, he can translate me right now. He can make me disappear and leave this place right now. I'm only here because God says I'm here, not because you're saying I'm here. This is the way we have to look at it, Bride, because nothing's going to happen without God's permission. So if we end up there, it's because God wants us there for a reason. And we have to be willing to let him do what he's going to do. So we got to say, okay, Lord, talk to me, talk to me, talk to me. Let me hear your voice here, Lord. Because he can appear to you. He can have an angel come to you in that prison, just like he did all them other people. And he can talk to you and give you instructions. And, you know, he may tell you, hey, I want you to go over and talk to that guard. And, you know, he may, you know, you're not abandoned is the whole point of this. Struck down, but not destroyed. Remember the story I told you guys about my, I'm going to take the recording off. Okay, so 2 Samuel 22, 3 and 4. My God is my rock. How many believe that? Is he your rock in the midst of the storm? Just, you know, if you could just picture yourself wrapping your arms around that rock and that wind is trying to blow you down in a hurricane, that's how he is. He is our rock, solid rock, in whom I take refuge. Refuge is the word today. Let me write that down. He is letting us know refuge is in him. Refuge, refuge, refuge in him. My shield and the horn of my salvation. He is my stronghold, my refuge, and my savior. Isn't that beautiful? Oh, I think about that song. Leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning on the everlasting arms. God is my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield, and the horn of my salvation. He is my stronghold, my refuge, and my savior. From violent people, you save me. Isn't that beautiful? I called to the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, and have been saved from my enemies. You know that song? I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. This is Petra. The Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. That's an awesome song. All right, John 10:28-30. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. We receive that. Ain't nobody snatching us out of God's hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Isn't that beautiful? Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, and I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right path for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. God has done that for me time and time again. Prepared me a table in the midst of my enemies when they were all around me. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Isn't this beautiful? Hey, I've only got two scriptures left, or three. Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. See, that's what God was telling us. Come on now, on Monday. If we will know that we know that we know that we know that he is the creator of all things, that he is in charge. He is the man with the plan. He is in charge of all the elements. In other words, we have all these things that God can use to help us. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel, which we're the modern day Israel, will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. Isn't that beautiful? The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Psalm 91. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. Isn't this beautiful? His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. This is really sad, though, when we see people being punished, isn't it? It really is. If you say, the Lord is my refuge, and you make the Most High your dwelling, then no harm will overtake you. No disaster will come near your tent. Let's all raise our hand. In the name of Jesus, we receive this. We receive this, that the Lord is our refuge, and we're making him, the Most High, our dwelling. And we partner with your word that says no harm will overtake us. No disaster will come near our tent. We are protected. We are blessed in Jesus' name. For he, yes, I will. I'm going to put it on the website, Leslie. I will share this. Hold on. Y'all can take this and download it so you can have it. Amen. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against the stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra and the alligator. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Wow. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. Uh-oh. I will protect him. Uh-oh. For he acknowledges my name. Are we ashamed of our Jesus? No, we are not. Are we ashamed of God? No, we're not. He will call on me, and I will answer him. If you will trust him, he will fulfill your expectations. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Isn't that beautiful? Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. All right, so I am going to upload this today and make it a video for the bride to encourage them, to strengthen them, you know, for what's coming and whatnot. But for us, I want us to go down this list of seven, and we're going to pray and release and do all of these goals. You ready? So number one. Just repeat after me. Say, Father God, in the name of Jesus, we need strength and we need your protection for what is ahead. We trust you, Lord. Number two, Lord, we choose today to die to ourselves and the American dream and the dreams that we expected to accomplish, our future, our disappointments, and our not fulfilled yet dreams, and the sadness in our heart for our children and grandchildren and where we're at right now. God, we're just choosing to give it all to you today, all of our expectations, hopes, and dreams, and we lay them down at the foot of the cross, Lord. And we give them to you in Jesus' name. Number three. Lord, today we choose that the will of the Lord be done. And that we have an attitude in the midst of our persecution that will give you glory. Number four. Lord, we pray for our brothers and sisters out there right now that are caught up in NAR. For our brothers and sisters that are caught up in deception, that are caught up in the delusion, we pray right now you open their eyes, God. Show them the truth, Lord. Help them to be delivered out of this image of the beast that they're believing in Jesus' name. Number five, Lord, while we're in this transition in the third quarter, Lord, with the Noah High Law agenda going forward, we're asking you for strength. We're asking you for wisdom. And we're asking that you help our ears to hear what the Spirit is saying unto us in this hour, Lord. Number six, Lord, we know that we're the final chapter of mankind and of the entire book of the Bible. We're the end here. And we are finishing your story. We're fulfilling your vision of humanity, of what you had in store in the earth. And we're asking, Lord, today, even though we're a small number, we're just committing our temples to you. We're committing ourselves to you to fulfill that mandate. Whatever it is you want us to do, Lord, we want to be all that you have meant for us to be. And number seven, we're asking for clarity and focus, Lord. We need protection against the radiation, all the toxins and all the chemicals and all of the nefarious things that is on the earth right now. And we're praying, Lord, that you protect us from the top of our head to the soles of our feet, that you remove these toxins out of our temple, Lord, and help us to find things that we can do to detox, to remove those. And we ask that you put a supernatural deflector shield around us that would deflect that stuff away from us, Lord. We're asking for protection so that we can be the children of God that you have designed for us before time began. In Jesus' name, help our minds. Help our minds to not be taken. We refuse to give our minds over to the beast. They cannot have our mind. And we pray over our mind, Lord, that you protect our mind, that you put your wings around our head like the armor of God, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, our loins girt about with truth, our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, and the garment of praise. And we receive this full armor of God today by faith, Lord, that you cover us in your wing, you cover us, you protect us, you guard over us. You're the rock that we stand on. You're our best friend. You're our protector. You're the one we trust in. We know we're not alone. So today, Lord, as we finish this 3-day fast, and we just thank you and give you praise, Lord, for being with us and for helping us to do this. We thank you for our sweet time of fellowship that we've had. We thank you, Lord, for charging up our spirit man, for refilling us with the Holy Ghost today, for filling us with the rivers of living water from the bottom of our trees, healing those roots, and bringing a refreshing in our spirit, Lord, opening our eyes that we may see beyond the veil, Lord, opening our ears that we may hear what the Spirit is saying unto us in this hour. Thank you, Lord, that we are able to see, the beast maneuvers, so that we can dodge them. Thank you that you have given us strategies. Thank you that you have warned us. You love those that you warn. Thank you, Lord, that you chose us to live here for such a time as this, and that we are not alone, that we are your bride, and that you love us, even with all of our flaws and our faults and our failures and hurts and all the other things that humans deal with. You still love us. And we thank you for that, Lord. We know that without you, we can do nothing. We are utterly dependent, co-dependent upon you, not man. No other man is our king and no other man is our idol. There's no other man that we bow to, no other thing. You are all that to us, Lord. And we're choosing this day who we're going to serve. We are not double-minded. We are single-minded in you, Lord, that you are our God. And Lord, with what the beast has in store, trying to pressure people to insert AI and to apply AI on the outer skin, Lord, we pray. And I'm saying this supernaturally, I feel this in the spirit, that you protect us from any foe or any person that would try to jab us with anything, you know, with these technologies they have where they can, you know, come up to you and apply it to you and put it in you. You protect us, Lord, supernaturally. Have them angels protect our temple at all costs, Lord. We value our temple, and we thank you and we give you praise, Lord, for protecting this place that we have preserved for you, where, you know, you set up that table inside and we have this fellowship, and where you knocked on the door and we let you in. You know, we have this sweet fellowship, and we do not want to harm that at all. So we thank you for protecting us and keeping us and shielding us and strengthening our inner man this week. We thank you, Lord, that we know in our hearts that we really can do all things, because you're the one that's our strength. It's not within our own strength, not by might, not by power, but by your strength, says the Lord. So we thank you that you are who we lean on, Lord. You are everything to us, and we worship and praise your holy name today. Now, Lord, I pray for everyone that's listening, for their homes and their lives. I pray healing over them from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. Lord, grant unto them their heart's desire. You know what they need, Lord. Deliver them all from debt. Heal them from debt, Lord. Deliver them from any oppressive thoughts, any negative old devil that's standing there lying to them and trying to tell them that they cannot or can't be. Lord, we pull that down. We pull down every stronghold that so easily besets itself against your will, God. And we pray blessings on these people, blessings on their family, blessings on their homes, peace in their homes. Blessing them financially, Lord. Blessing them abundantly, Lord. Send angels to them from the north, south, east, and west that will bring the provision they need to do what you have called them to do in this last hour. Thank you, Lord, that we know that we have angels with us. We're not alone. In Jesus' mighty name, you are worthy to be praised today, Lord. There's no one like you. In Jesus' name, amen.